Oh, hey. Fancy meeting you here. I'd love to stop and talk, but I guess I have a few minutes. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Some people call me Lucifer. Some people call me the tempter, the accuser, the devil. You can just call me Satan. Kind of surprised at how I look. You didn't in a tail, did you? Or I know sometimes folks like to think I like to wear suits and everything. I like being comfortable. You know what I mean? I know you know what I mean. Because I know you like to be comfortable. I mean, after all, I don't have to impress anybody. The whole world's mine with a little help from my friends. It's pretty easy. It's interesting. All I have to do to kind of keep control and to have so much power is just to tell people what they want to hear. Really. Just all I have to do is give them a little bit of permission, and they just jump right on board. One of my favorite lines is, you deserve this. You know, when I catch you thinking about a brand new car, it's like, oh, you deserve it. Or a new house, oh, you deserve that. Or new clothes, or a little bit of good gossip. Get something on somebody else. Maybe even a little bit of good revenge. Yeah, you deserve that. It works like a charm. And it's interesting, the other thing that works, which you wouldn't think it would, but I find it works really well, is kind of the opposite of that, is you don't deserve it. You are worthless. It's amazing when they hear that. It's like it reinforces the tapes that are playing in your minds. And then you just go away, and then I've won. Because all I really have to do is get you thinking about yourself, what you deserve, what you don't deserve, because then you're not thinking about you know who. And then I win. I just don't really understand it, because you know who seems to be, he's been swimming upstream since Adam and Eve. You know, who keeps on thinking that love will actually work? That you'll somehow find the capacity to get over yourself and to start looking out for other people's interest and paying attention to you know who. And it's true, some of you do manage to get past yourself a little bit. I mean, children, a spouse, a few friends. But it usually doesn't go much further than that. I just don't get it. Why you know who keeps thinking that love will work. Now, I mentioned I've got an appointment in a few minutes. You know who's trying something new. You know who is coming down and actually going to put skin on. And so Jesus is waiting in the wilderness, starving. There's a good chance that when I give him permission to have what he really wants, he will. On the other hand, this is you know who. I might lose this one. But I'm not really worried. So what if one? So what if one person is able to really resist me and not give in to my temptation? It's really few and far between the number of people who do that. So I think my chances are pretty good. But got to get. I will be seeing you around. Telling the gospel. Our gospel today continues the story at the beginning of Matthew after Jesus was baptized. We begin with Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. He fasted day and night for 40 days, and afterwards, he was famished. Then the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, loaves of bread." But Jesus said to him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, God will command the angels concerning him, and they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not test the Lord your God." And again, the devil took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the devil said, "All of these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, serve God alone." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Please be seated. This time I would like to invite the children that would like to head out for Word for Children to go on out to the comfy chairs. Hi.
Hi. Can you answer my religious questions?
I may be able to give you some answers. Have a seat. I may just give you some better questions. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, so my first question is, what exactly is Lent all about?
Well, you probably know, Lent is the 40 days before Easter. And so it starts with Ash Wednesday, and we had a Shrove Tuesday pancake supper. Remember all that? Yeah. And so that's getting rid of all the stuff for Lent. And then it goes for 40 days. And you might be interested to know that the 40 days comes from Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. So
that leads me to my next question.
Oh, yeah. You have a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
Why did Jesus have to be tempted?
Well, a quick answer is because the Spirit led him out in the wilderness. The answer that best works for me is the temptation happened right after Jesus was baptized. And so the Holy Spirit comes down and the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son." And so I think the temptation was really about Jesus being challenged on whether he was going to believe what God said and live into being the child of God, or whether Jesus was going to give in to what Satan or the world says the Son of God is supposed to look like and do. So I think it was about really about him discovering kind of who he was, and knowing that as he began his ministry, that he knew that he could trust in God. You have any more questions there?
Yeah. Why do I have to give up something for Lent?
Why? Oh, I wonder if anybody, any of these folks out here know the answer. Why do you have, you know, a lot of people give up stuff for Lent, don't they? I like to think, well, first of all, it comes from years and years of practice. During Lent, it's a time of taking on spiritual disciplines, and usually folks talk about giving up something for Lent. I like to shift it around, though, a little bit, to where it's more about figuring out a way to get control over the things that want to get control over you. You know, it's sort of like people have stuff that just distracts them, that gets in the way of them really getting connected with God and understanding and learning how to trust God. Because, I mean, there's stuff comes at us. I mean, there's stresses at work. There's all kinds of romance and relationships. There's the lure of money, all this kind of stuff. And the stuff that we can feel and see and taste, it's so easy to get attached to that. And once we start kind of getting focused on that, what happens is we start, well, we get focused on it, so we're not focused on God. And it's so easy then to put our trust in the things that we can touch and feel. And so I think about Lent really as a time to disrupt that. And so if we have our normal patterns, the normal ways we do life, if we can find a way to disrupt it and kind of shift things, and something new is possible other than the automatic stuff that we fall into. And the automatic stuff, for the most part, is not very good for us. Not very good. And so, yeah, I mean, so what does that look like? For some, yeah, if their whole life revolves around video games. I don't know of anybody whose life does that, but... Or TV, it's like, yeah, a good thing for them is to give that up. Not because they have to suffer, but because by giving it up, all of a sudden they have time and they have the ability to focus on that, which is really important. And I believe that that's God. And so it can look like all kinds of things. We have the marks of discipleship. Yeah, those memorized, right? No, I'm sorry to worship, pray, study, give, invite, encourage, serve. These are good ways to figure out, to explore as possibilities what can disrupt your normal way of being so that something new is possible. Yeah, I think for a lot of folks, the tendency is to be focused on ourselves. So some of those, like serve and pray and give, that's getting focused on other people, and so that can provide that disruption. Now, I want to make sure you get your money's worth. So I'm going to introduce you to a new word. It's liminal. Can you say liminal?
Liminal.
Very good, liminal. And it's a word I actually rather recently discovered, but it has to do with limits. And so a liminal place is a place that's on the edge of kind of your reality. Yeah, so it's like life on the edge. And in Lent, it's a great time to claim a liminal space and time where you're on the edge between your world and the divine world. And taking on a practice, actually, and expecting that practice to make a difference in your life, then makes that a sacred time and a sacred place. And it creates room and an opening for God to break in and for you to know yourself as a child of God. It seems, we say it all the time with baptism, you're a baptized child of God, but it's so easy to have some other identity drive everything we're doing. And so Lent's a great time to break that open, to challenge some of the ways that you've been living, and to create an opportunity to develop habits and a relationship with God that really keeps you going. So I'm curious, given this conversation, is there a particular spiritual discipline you're going to take on for Lent?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I usually just give up chocolate. But what you're talking about is a lot deeper than that. I need to think on that some. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. I invite you to stand.